Welcome to episode 39 of Autograph Weekly, Le Zane Le Douche.
You're now tuned into the most entertaining, informative, and downright kick-ass autograph show that has ever existed. Here's Zane Savage and Double S with Autograph Weekly.
Welcome, Autograph Addicts. I'm Zane Savage.
I'm Stacia Schaefer.
I'm Jeremy Daniels.
I'm Mike Kane.
I'm Sydney Walton.
And you're listening to Autograph Weekly, feeding your brain with knowledge and news every week until Invisible Obama wins the election. Guys, we do a pre-show called AW Extra. It's a Google Hangout, and it's broadcast over at youtube.com/autographweekly. Check that out every week at Sunday at 4 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. Also, we have a new guest on the show, Sydney Walton. He's a picking expert. He's picked for several years. He knows the ins and outs of picking, and picking's a little part of autograph collecting that we really haven't covered yet. Sydney, if you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, guys, as Zane said, I'm Sydney Walton, and I've been picking probably a good 10, 15 years at least. I'm 39 years old, just celebrated my 39th birthday, and, you know, it's definitely fine autographs when you go out picking at thrift stores, flea markets, yard sales. Just got to know where to look, and I'm going to be here to help you with that.
Cool. Thanks
about
for the introduction.
Time. Somebody on this show is older than me.
Stacey is no longer the senior.
Nope.
Let's head into the news. Mike, you got the first one.
All right. Well, the article I have is basically based around presidential autographs, and it's pretty cool to see kind of everything all in one article about, you know, about all the info you need to know. They talk about auto pens. They talk about the significance of letters. What's in the letter when you get from a president obviously adds to its value. But one thing it did mention that I think I read about years ago, and it's pretty crazy that when that right before JFK was assassinated, he was going to give away like hardcover copies of his inaugural address signed for as a Christmas present in 1963. That obviously never happened.
Wow.
But I guess Jackie wrote an inscription to each of those people and sent them out, and that's just like the ultimate Kennedy collectible, and he didn't even sign it. I mean, that's terribly sad, but also pretty crazy when you think about it as well.
You know, people always worry about auto pens and think they're a new thing. Auto pens have been around since the early 1900s. They're nothing new. Secretaries have been around even before that, obviously. So it's kind of an interesting article that talks about the inside of political autographs and presidential autographs. So that's definitely a really cool article. I think I'll go ahead and post a link up to that on our website at autographweekly.com if you guys want to check it out. All right, Stacey.
All right, I've got a couple here. The first one, the article is called Almost Famous. It's about the making of Sloane Stephens. She is a young and upcoming tennis star. And this article just kind of goes through her people just signed a deal with her to sign autographs and memorabilia for this company. And at this event, I'm not exactly sure where this, I think it was a tournament not too long ago, but the guy who's in charge of the company comes up to her and introduces, and they start talking about a little bit, and he pulls out this massive stack of notepad-sized photographs. He pulled out 150 pictures total, posters, 51 tennis balls, and she's like, why 51? And the guy's like, cans of three. And then they go on and talk about a bunch of other stuff. She's asking if people are actually asking for her autograph, which is pretty interesting. Then she starts to sign some stuff, and she's like taking a lot of time signing this stuff. He starts giving her a little crap that Pete Sampras can sign like 150 photos and what it's taken her to sign one or two, and she's like, really? So she's like, why would somebody time that? And they start going back and forth, and she's like, well, why don't you time me and see how long it takes? So it kind of goes into that. So it's a real interesting story about an up-and-coming athlete and kind of the process they go through signing their first exclusive autograph deals and stuff like that.
We've actually talked to people that have done certified cards, and we've talked to them about it. Steve Wiebe was one, and Todd Stashwick was another. He did stuff for Heroes. Wiebe had a card, obviously, for Donkey Kong. And it's interesting how, well, that actually, they actually had a representative there, but in the Wiebe and Stashwick case, they actually got the stuff sent to their house, and they had to take a photo of them signing the stuff every few cards or something like that to certify that it was them signing the stuff. But yeah, it's always interesting to hear behind the scenes of those signings. And actually, private signings are kind of along that same route, and we need to have maybe somebody on to talk about private signings later on in the show. I think that'd be a really interesting topic.
I think sometimes for the bigger people, they actually have someone there watching you sign them all, you know.
Right,
they give
right.
you just like a sheet of the stickers, whatever. Here, sign them all. Because, I mean, the only thing I don't like about that is, you know, you take a picture or whatever every so often is you could sign a couple, get up, have someone else sit down, sign the rest.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah.
You just don't know.
Right. But, well, there are cases where if you look at certified autos from Topps and stuff, you'll see the same set of cards supposedly signed by the same person, but they look nothing alike. And it's the exact same card. So mm-hmm. it was signed in the same sit-down. And you wonder if that was maybe the case. It got sent to the house and somebody else signed one or two as a joke. Like, mm-hmm. That could easily happen, but, you know, we'll never really know. Autograph collecting is one of those things you can hardly ever be 100% sure unless you actually see it signed. We always say that. So
that was one of the real interesting things, too, and we had Tracy Hackler on. He was explaining how Panini does all that stuff, too. So they have the actual people that just – that's their entire job is the going out and finding them and having them sit in to make sure they're signing them and all that stuff.
Right. All right, your next article.
All right, my next one here real quick is just about a Robert Griffin III RG3 Super Fractor just appeared on eBay this last week. It's the first one to appear. Actually, he put it on there. He wasn't sure what he wanted to sell it for, so he had to buy it now price on there for $7,500 or best offer. And actually, just he updated it not too long ago. He accepted an offer of $3,100. So that's the first high-end RG3 card that's been sold. So
for some reason that takes me back to Pokemon. An RG3 appeared in the wild.
those are one of one, right? The Super Fractors.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, they gotta be
the ultimate rookie or whatever. So, all right. My article is about Neil Armstrong, who sadly recently passed away. An interesting thing he did before he left to go to the moon. Before Neil Armstrong went to the moon in 1969, he took some precautionary measures to make sure his family would be taken care of in case he didn't come back. And by the way, that was a very risky mission when they went to the moon. It was not guaranteed they were coming back. It was a lot of experimental stuff. And there's actually some articles and stuff that was released right before he died, actually, about that. They actually wrote a speech to be announced if they lost the crew. Basically praising them as heroes and saying they'll be greatly missed and a bunch of other stuff. So it was a very risky mission that he went on. Instead of taking out a life insurance policy, which was prohibitively expensive for someone going to the moon, obviously, Armstrong and his fellow Apollo 11 astronauts signed a stack of covers or envelopes marked with important dates, FDC, I'm assuming, and they were given to their families to be sold in case they died, because you can imagine if those guys didn't make it back from the moon, how rare their signatures would be. So if they did pass away in that manner, these would sell for a ton of money, and that's back in the 60s. You can imagine now if that happened and those were floating in the market, how crazy expensive those would be. So it's kind of interesting they didn't actually take out a policy and he had to resort to autographs. And I've always talked about that, how if you don't sign a lot of autographs, like Mike Marshall, who won the Cy Young, he hardly signs anything at all. He was a mediocre player, and his autographs were worth like $150 just because he doesn't sign anything. And being that person, you can easily sign a ton of autographs as an insurance policy just in case you get in trouble sometime. Here's a batch of my autographs. And you're good. Or a life insurance policy. If you pass away, your family's taken care of. So I've always wondered about that side of autograph collecting and how many people do that. You know, this is just one extreme case of that.
Yeah, that was a really interesting read. Like I said, we were looking through the news stories this week. I mean, there was probably five or six different stories around Neil Armstrong and his autograph signing habits. So we had to throw one of those in, and that was just a real interesting one.
Well, that's probably why he never really signed up until the day he died, is because, you know, the more he signs, the...
Well, it's true. I mean, I don't know of how many people take that into their consideration when they decide not to sign. But I think he kind of had the same philosophy as Steve Jobs, where, well, people were selling it, and that made him angry. But if he couldn't sign for everybody, he didn't want to sign at all.
There's something with astronauts, though. A lot of astronauts don't sign, you know, regardless of who they are. I mean, there's some that do sign that are good signers, but majority of them just do not flat out refuse to sign.
Well, so. This article talks about he didn't see himself as a celebrity, and he didn't live a celebrity life after he got back from the moon. Obviously, people treated him like a celebrity, but he did as much as possible to live kind of a normal life and not be treated specially. But he's the first guy that landed on the moon. Of course, he's going to be treated with a massive amount of respect. But anyways, let's move on to the next article. Ali Rasman gets a marriage proposal at an autograph session. So she's an Olympic champion. Gold medal winning gymnast Ali Rasman, I don't know how to say her name.
It's Rasman.
Is it Rasman? Okay, I didn't want to get it wrong, but I did. Got an offer she could refuse, and did, when a fan proposed marriage to her during an autograph signing. So I have a feeling if I ever meet Felicia Day, this may happen. So I need to take note of this. The 18-year-old, okay, that's kind of creepy. The 18-year-old was signing at Los Angeles Office Depot store when a fan dropped to one knee and presented a ring pop. This obviously wasn't serious, but he got down on one knee, and then Harry, my manager, was like, "She's too young to get married." So, to all you people looking to propose to somebody an autograph signing, it's probably not going to work. That actually reminds me of Borat, when he went to see Pamela Anderson at an autograph signing and confessed his love to her. So this is kind of the same kind of ordeal.
It's funny that you mention her, because she lives about a half hour from me, about 20 minutes from me. And, you know, she wins an Olympic gold, so I've been trying to get her on a photo.
Right.
Like, not trying to be creepy, but it's like an 18-year-old, like, girl. And, you right. know. But she's been doing, like, public sort of appearances, but they're all at, like, really young girl places. Like, you know, like she did one at an American Girl store, and I would have got her if I just stood in line with about 3,000, like, little girls. So,
right.
Needless to say, I haven't gotten her yet, just because I can't find the right, less creepy time to get her.
The
so.
Right venue. You got to find that right venue.
You should take a ring. You should get a ring pop and get that signed.
Yeah.
Actually, that would be cool. That would be really cool. I don't know how that would, you know, work over time. You know, 50 years from now, a ring pop's not going to look too tasty. But all right, let's move on to the next story.
Yeah, this was a neat little piece that was in the New York Times. The writer is Robert Samuels. It says, "Dear Diary, it is 1950 and I'm 12 years old. I'm at the stadium to see a game with my father. There's a rain delay, but when they finally start rolling up the tarp, my father lets me go down to the Yankees dugout to try and get some autographs. A short while later, I'm on my way back, a huge grin on my face. 'Whose autograph did you get?' my dad wants to know. 'No one, but Casey Stengel spoke to me,' I shout. 'Well, he did. What did he say?' He said, 'Get out of here, kid.'"
That just goes to show you, like, we all have this, like, vision of people back in the, you know, 50s and the 60s being all nice and kind to each other. You still had your crabs, and I you could tell from a mile away that Casey Stengel was kind of a crab. I really like that story, especially since it was a kid. You could definitely see, like, a guy getting turned away. "Get out of here, you dude."
Oh, yeah. I've been that guy.
You've been that guy. You I are am that guy. So that, I love that story, just to show the crankiness of Casey Stengel. All right, Jeremy, last news story.
All right, my article's called "Assessing Walt Disney Autographs." I read this article, I found it kind of interesting. I did not know this, but I don't know if any of you guys did, but Walt Disney had two people basically sign autographs for him on basically promotional material, comics, fan items, whatever. And he did this for a while. All right, so Walt Disney, I'm going to read a little article here, a paragraph. Authentic Walt Disney autographs, those that Disney signed by his own hand, differ depending on the stage of his life. The signatures dating to the 20s differ from those in the early 60s. As with anyone, when you get older in age, your signature varies. He signed his name in both cursive and block print, which is also known as Roman lettering, and he used every type of writing instrument to sign his name: pens, pencils, markers, fountain pens, and crayons. He also redesigned his own signature over the years in very much the same way he changed the appearance of Mickey Mouse. So basically, the moral of the story is, if you have a Walt Disney autograph, chances are that it's not really signed by Walt Disney himself.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one thing to look out for.
Not to mention all the forgeries that are out there.
Well, so, yeah. You know, and like I said, I didn't know he had two people signing his name, you know, autograph for him back in the day. So chances are, like I said, if you have a Walt Disney, think it's legit, you might want to get it.
You know how you can fix that? You know how you can fix that? You could do your research and figure it out.
But, and another interesting thing about this article, it also states that Walt Disney's autograph can command more money from collectors than most of the autographs of U.S. presidents,
wow,
which I find shocking.
Well, so. I mean, it's Walt Disney. I mean, the Disney name is king in America, so I don't find it that shocking, actually. Whenever you get a high-profile autograph like that, the first thing I do is look up secretary signature next to the person I have to find out what their secretary signature looks like. And usually it's a lot easier to identify if you have a secretary signature just by looking, comparing those. Instead of comparing it to an authentic autograph from that person, compare it to the secretary signature, and you're like, okay, these are exactly alike. Obviously this is a secretary.
It says Walt Disney's autograph is worth more on the collectibles market than 40 presidents.
Wow.
So, I mean, yeah.
I actually ran into this with a Lyndon B. Johnson's autograph. I got a signed book by Lyndon B. Johnson, LBJ, and I was really excited, got it in, hand-signed, inscribed, and I was like, I got to find out if this is authentic. So went to certain websites that deal in presidential autographs, looked up the secretarial signatures. That's the first thing, like I said, I looked up, and sure enough, there wasn't the little dot under the B, which is always there in Lyndon B. Johnson's signature. And I looked up the secretarial autograph with the inscription to check handwriting. I had a secretarial. Easily, just as easy as that. Looked it up, found it, sent it back, got my refund. So definitely do your research on that, guys. If you have a big profile name, like a president or Walt Disney, you got to do double research just to make sure, because you don't want to claim to have something that big when you don't have it. Especially in the autograph collecting world, you kind of lose credibility when that happens. So,
and it's amazing how close those secretarials are to the originals.
Oh yeah, they practice
especially
it
Lyndon
to make
B. Johnson.
It look.
Just that little dot makes a difference.
But know? There's usually something like that to always set it off. Usually, because usually they got to have something to tell the difference. Either document-wise, or there's a reason behind it. They need to know the difference between the secretarial signature and the real signature. We've talked about this before. Several secretarials, TTM, do the same thing. The signature's almost exactly the same, except for one little difference. And then there's some secretaries that don't give a crap and just sign however they want.
It's funny. Back when I was a kid, I wrote to Charlton Heston through the mail, and this was like in the early 90s. And he sent me back. I sent him a 3x5 card. He signed it. And he also sent, it was about a 3x5 photograph, and he signed it. And all this time, I thought I had an authentic Charlton Heston signature.
Right.
But just recently, watching a video, I think it was Auto Signature Info, he got a signed book from a friend of his. And he explained how to know if you had an authentic Charlton Heston. And basically, it's if you can see the R in his first name, Charlton.
Yep.
More than likely, you have an authentic. And so I was like, well, I'm going to check mine out. So I did, and once you know it, they're not authentic. So
right.
After all this time, you know, I've been hanging on to probably a secretarial signature from Charlton Heston.
And, you know, that's always disappointing, but there's always a piece of me that feels relieved to get it out of my collection when I find something like that out.
True.
You know,
true.
You don't want to be holding on to something and say, oh, man, Charlton Heston held this photo and signed it when it actually didn't happen. So it's
exactly.
Like, okay, that's gone. Now I can look for a real Charlton Heston. So let's go ahead and move on to Web Deal of the Week. Stacey, what you got?
All right. This Web Deal of the Week is another item from Newberry Comics. This is something Zane picked up quite a while ago. It was probably, what, mid last year, maybe?
Yeah, it's probably been probably 8 months or something. No.
And this is actually Juliette Lewis signed CD cover for $7.99. And you can find that just by going to newberrycomics.com, click on the autographed CD booklets, and it's actually in the select titles, $8.99 or less. So.
Yeah, that's an amazing deal for Juliette Lewis, guys. She's a pretty big-time Hollywood actress, and this is on a CD, her CD where she sings, so it's not what she's known for, but to get her autograph for that cheap is ridiculous. I can't believe they still have these. These have been on there for, I think, 2 years. So these are going to run out soon, especially after we put it on the podcast. So you might want to hurry up and go get it before they do sell out. All right, it's time for the AW Hot List. This is the section of the show where we tell you who's hot right now in the TTM world. Who are people getting in? It's kind of a trend in the TTM community. Number three, we have Bob Newhart. We've seen several returns from him. He's always been a great TTM signer, so if you haven't wrote to Bob and you've seen the Bob Newhart show, or Elf, he was great in Elf. Great actor, great signer, and great person in the TTM community. Next, Danica Patrick. A lot of returns from Danica Patrick lately. She usually takes a while to sign, so don't expect it the next week. But people are starting to get them in, and sometimes there's a little window, guys, whenever people are signing. Obviously, it took these people like 6 months to get Danica back. But that little window, when she does sign after that 6 months, if you can get your request in really fast, sometimes they'll come back pretty quick. So,
and with her, it's starting to look like she's kind of limiting it to signing one thing per person now. And she's not real strong about signing the Maxim stuff that she did. So just a heads up, you might want to try sending more of the racing stuff to her to get signed.
And the number one pick for the AW Hot List this week is Jerry West. Jerry's been a pretty good signer throughout the years, but he has had his spurts where he stopped signing. He's signed for the last, I think, year at the Nuggets address. I think that's where it is, or... Do you guys remember what team he's working for
now? Yeah, it was the Golden State Warriors.
Warriors, the Warriors address. So he is signing there right now, guys. So if you have anything you want signed by Jerry West, send it. He's especially signing well right now because he has a new book out, and he usually promotes that book with TTM returns. So I've noticed several people get him in lately. He's a Hall of Famer. The NBA logo is based off Jerry West, so he's a great signature to have in your collection. And like I said, who knows when he's going to stop signing. He stopped signing a couple years ago for about a year. So he's kind of picky off and on, but he is signing now. So, and the keyword is logo. The keyword is logo. This episode of Autograph Weekly is brought to you by Rackers.com. That's RACKRS.com. Rackers produces custom trading cards for baseball, basketball, football, hockey, wrestling, and even movie cards. These sleek, matte finished trading cards have been created for the autograph collector. Whether you write TTM or graph IP, Rackers are a great update from those boring index cards. For IPers, be prepared for any celebrity you may run into. Purchase a pack of Rackers cards and use the promo code AUTOGRAPHWEEKLY, that's one word, AUTOGRAPHWEEKLY, to receive a free sample pack with purchase. That's Rackers.com, RACKRS.com. All right, the Fantasy League is over, and give us the sad results, Jeremy.
I wouldn't say they're sad results, but this was really close to the end. Just want to thank both teams. And final score was 947 to 917 in favor of, drumroll, anyone, drumroll, the Mail Day Mafia.
Congratulations, Mail Day Mafia. You beat the young canceled bastards. But the good thing about this, it was close. It came down to the end within 30 points, and that's not much with five teams competing. Like Jeremy said, we want to thank everybody who was a part of this. Little rough patches at the beginning, but we got through that, and we've had a blast the past few months. It's been a great experience, and the main thing we did was we learned from what we did and fixed some stuff. So next fantasy draft that we have, it's going to be even more awesome. We've learned things here and there that we need to tweak, some things that can improve the draft, and I think it's going to be a staple in our show down the line. So, again, that is the Melee Mafia beating the Uncancelled Bastards, 947.
I just want to give just a quick point breakdown here for people that had the most points. I'll do like a top three or something.
Yeah,
here.
Go for it.
Mr. Ty 2K, Ty Kiefer, he had 283 points. Next is Neary TTM Central with 256 points. And next is Funky Diabetic with 212 points.
A lot of people are worried about the prizes, which we're going to cover right now. So the losing team doesn't get anything, obviously. We lost. But that's okay, because we thank you guys for competing. You guys did your best. The winning team, the entire winning team, all six members, will get a Autograph Weekly t-shirt, a swag bag, some little items, Autograph Weekly items here and there, and some autograph prizes. So look forward to that. But the one that you guys are going to look forward to the most, I know, is the humiliation prize. So me and Bloodspawn, Dave Stotler, will be participating in some form of humiliation. So what's going to happen is we're going to come up with a list of four different things to humiliate me and Dave. And you guys can also email us or post on our Facebook wall with any humiliation ideas for me or Dave. We'll come up with the top four, and we'll post those next week on the podcast as a poll. And you guys get to vote what we're going to do to humiliate ourselves. So this ought to be fun. We lost, so we deserve the humiliation. And I think that's going to be the most rewarding thing to come out of the end of this. The prizes are awesome, but this is going to be interesting to see what me and Dave have to do. So
you guys I'm more interested in seeing Dave do something, just because he, you know, in his videos, he's just, you know, kind of just quiet and just sitting there. We got to do something extreme for him. So
well, we'll see. And it's going to be the same thing for me and him. So.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, just
you're saying Dave, I have the reputation of some crazy exactly. guy. Yes. And just yes. because of that, it's going to be more interesting to see Dave do it. I see how it is. You're biased. I see how it is. So, again, guys, if you have any ideas for humiliations, go ahead and email those to us at autographweekly@gmail.com or send us a post at Facebook at facebook.com/autographweekly. All right, let's move on to TTM and Graph of the Week. Last week, we had Ronnie Vernelin with a Michael Douglas TTM return going up against Dennis St. Laurent with a Ted Nugent TTM return. And the winner was Ronnie Vernelin with the Michael Douglas return, 68% to 32%. So he'll be moving on to the Graph of the Month competition. This week, we have Michael Macholtz with the Stan Musial TTM return, which is rare. It's hard to get Stan Musial TTM. You usually send your stuff back unsigned or with the little flyer with a signature. Musial actually signed his item, which is, like I said, very, very rare. Going up against Boston Sports Fan 91 with a Kevin Costner TTM return. I know what you're thinking. Secretarial, right? Because Kevin Costner has been secretarial for many years. Recently, Costners have been looking authentic. So this is actually a Rightestar address. This is not an address that was on any other website. So we're looking at it. We've done some research. We're leaning toward authentic. You guys can actually look at his video and tell us what you think. But that's what's up for TTM of the Week. Stacy, what's up for Graph of the Week?
All right, for Graph of the Week, last week's battle was between Top Shell TTMs with his Game U signed Cal Ripken ball he got for $1 against Russell Lee and his Kanye West IP, and this turned out to be a pretty rather big blowout. I'm kind of surprised. I'm not surprised Ripken won, but I'm surprised by the amount because Kanye is almost impossible to get. But Top Shelf won 81% to 19%. So big win there for Top Shelf. And for this week, we have Robert Dorfman with a Jay-Z signed book he picked up for $2 at a thrift store against Everybody Loves Autos with an Olivia Munn signed photo he got for $9. So,
and that Jay-Z book is extremely rare. Like, they go for like $250 on eBay and other sites. So to find one for $2 is crazy. And the Olivia Munn is awesome too. I'm a big fan of the Newsroom, and she does a great job in it. I actually talked to her on air. You can find that video on YouTube. Just look up Zane Savage, Attack of the Show, and you can see the clip of me talking to Olivia Munn. I actually cut her off because I'm a douchebag. We'll get to the douchebag part later. But we do have Graph of the Month this month, so you guys can go vote for Graph of the Month. Stacy, if you want to go ahead and run down the list for those.
All right. For August's nominees, we have TTM Central with a John Berthnall TTM, Kyle Vau with a Vince McMahon in person, Michael Macholtz with an Adam West TTM, Kelvin ML with a George Carlin signed book he got for $0.50, Eric Larson with a Rod Stewart TTM, TTM Central once again with a David Duchovny IP. And then this week's winners, Ronnie Vernalyn with the Michael Douglas TTM and Top Shelf TTMs with the Cal Ripken Game Used Signed Baseball for $1.
So, guys, if you want to vote for a Graf and Graf TTM of the Week and Graf of the Month, just go to our website, autographweekly.com. The poll's right there on the right. You can't miss it. While you're at it, vote for the collector's poll, which we actually address an AW Extra. All right, we have a new segment to the show since our buddy Sid's on here. He has a segment called Pickin' Pays Off. It basically covers his picking activities over the past, how long have you been picking, Sid?
Long, long time. Probably 10, 15, 20 years. It's been a while.
So this is basically an opportunity for him to tell you some stories and some tips about picking, because I know a lot of people do enjoy picking, and we haven't really talked about it much. So go ahead and take it over, Sid, and tell us a little bit what you got in store for us this week.
All right. First, I'll go over a couple things I picked up for this past week. Some of you guys may know I'm an artist, and I was commissioned to do a storefront window mural for a used bookstore about 30 minutes from me. And I took my payment out in used books. And a couple of things I was able to find. The owners had probably 100 boxes of books in their back room. I went through about half the boxes and found a couple of signed books. First one is a book titled On Whose Side by Franklin W. Fricke. And Franklin W. Fricke was a lieutenant colonel in the United States Air Force. And he served in both World War II and the Korean War. And he was awarded a bunch of medals. I think it's basically just a book about his military career. But it's a very small book, probably about 70 pages long, but pretty cool. But the best thing that I found this past week was a book called View from the Ninth Decade, written by J.C. Penney. And that's right, that's the J.C. Penney, owner and creator of the J.C. Penney department stores. And some of you guys might not know that J.C. stands for James Cash, which I think that's kind of cool. But he did sign the first free page. That's the first blank page in a book in blue ballpoint pen. And I definitely checked it out with other examples of his autograph on eBay and such, and it's definitely authentic. This book came out in 1960, and it was about 11 years before his death in 1971. But it's basically a book all about his life and how he came to own the JCPenney stores. So really, really nice find. The book itself is fairly rare, and the copy I have is in really good shape. So very, very pleased to get that. Now I guess I'll move on to some tips for you guys on how to find signed items. And basically what I'm going to start with for this segment will be books. Since that seems to be the most popular with you guys.
Yes, it is. Amen. Yeah. I can attest to that.
Basically, when you go into a thrift store or a flea market or a yard sale, what you're going to want to go to first and start looking through first, especially if you're limited on time, is the autobiographies. That's where you'll find your best success rate is with autobiographies. And I had to say hardcovers most of the time are going to be the ones with the autograph. So definitely start going through those first. And then you can move on to your other types of books. It's fiction, nonfiction, and whatnot. Look for famous names. If it's a name you recognize, definitely grab that book, pick it up, and go to the first few pages. It's not always on the title page. Sometimes it'll be on the first blank page. Sometimes it'll be on the dedication page. So you just make sure to look at all of the first few pages of the book. But definitely start with the hardcovers, then go to softcovers. And that's really about it.
If you guys want to see a tutorial video, Sid has a great tutorial video on YouTube actually talking about it. I'm sure if you just look up Blade 911100 book... how to, maybe. I'm not sure what it's tagged as, but it's a really great video that explains all that stuff, and I actually use that video to go picking in my local thrift store and rummage sales. It really helps you to figure out which ones have the best chance of being signed. And as Sid said, the autobiography hardbacks are the biggest. And I think that's because whenever you have an autograph signing for a regular author, even if it's a best-selling author, you're going to have quite a few people there, but not anything compared to if you have Magic Johnson signing books. The line's going to be 3 times larger, which means there's 3 times as many signed books getting signed. That's why those autobiographies seem to be so plentiful when it comes to them being signed. So that helped me out a ton when I was picking for books at my local thrift store. And I think that video will help you guys out a lot. So
hey Sid, sorry to cut you off, Sam. Hey Sid, what's the best pick that you ever had with a book, a signed book, autographed book that you've encountered?
Well, there's a couple, actually. My best one was probably, it was totally unexpected. I was out walking with my family. This was when I was living in Kansas. And one evening we just decided to all go for a walk around the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And we walked by this one house where the owners had just moved out. And there was a huge pile of garbage out by the side of the road. So as we're walking by, I'm looking at this garbage. I'm a picker. I can't help it. So I'm looking at this garbage, and I see what looks to be a really nice-looking book just sitting there on top. So I picked the book up, and I don't remember which one this one was, but it was a Franklin Mint book. And so I open it up, and it's signed. Like I said, I can't remember which one this was. Uh-huh. But I'm like, really? So I look around the garbage. I'm like, well, there might be more. So I'm looking, and I start finding more books. I've ended up picking out about 12 of these Franklin Mint leather-bound with the gold gilt decoration on them books. Mm-hmm. And these are all Franklin Mint signed editions. And I ended up pulling out The Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison signed. A book signed by Truman Capote, a book signed by Gore Vidal. There was one signed by Arthur Miller. The list goes on and on, but that was probably my best find ever, autograph-wise, period. Not just autograph books, but just mm-hmm. a signed item, period. And there was one other time in a Goodwill where I'm looking through the books, and I saw this one titled on the spine, A Book. Mm-hmm. So, and it said Desi Arnaz, and it had no dust jacket. And normally, if a book has no dust jackets, a lot of times, or at least that time, I thought, well, this is not going to be signed. Mm-hmm. But I went ahead and grabbed it anyway and opened it up, and sure enough, it was signed and inscribed by Desi Arnaz from I Love Lucy fame.
Wow. Nice.
And for $2. Nice. So that's those are probably my two best finds right there.
Well, on the Franklin Mint books, I can tell you as a book collector, and I have a library of signed books, those are the cream of the crop, especially they have limited edition copies of them. Leather-bound, really nice silk pages on some of them, just awesome books. Those with Eastern Press books, those are also really high-quality signed books. So that's amazing, dude. Yeah, I'm very jealous of the Truman Capote and the Gore Vidal. All those are awesome, man. Thanks for giving us some tips and telling us what you got this week. We're obviously going to have you on later shows, so you can give some more tips to our audience on picking. We greatly appreciate it. Now we have a little interview from Brian Linder, straight from Dragon Con. With us today, we have Brian Linder, who's at Dragon Con. Brian, how's it going over there?
Well, Zane, it is amazing. We've got costume people, droid stormtroopers everywhere. It's been an exciting time so far. We've met Adam West and Burt Ward after their panel. Met a good friend of yours, Felicia Day. Super nice.
I hung out with
Tara Strong. She was the voice from Batgirl and Harley Quinn in the Arkham Asylum and Batman the Animated Series. Lines are not too long. The autographs are ranging anywhere from Adam West was $60 per item. Pretty exciting. Got a lot of different things in 3 different buildings here in Atlanta. Waiting right now for the Meet Darth Vader panel with David Prowse. And then on to Alice Cooper at 5:30.
Very nice. The prices seem to be pretty low at $20. It's usually decently low for a convention. Now, who is the highest priced guest there for an autograph? Is it Adam?
It actually is Anthony Michael Hall. from 16 Candles and the Breakfast Club, $75 for your item. And then he has pictures and posters, which range from $5 to up to $25. He's the most pricey autograph. You also got Jillian Anderson from the X-Files here. She's at $50. And Richard Dean Anderson, MacGyver, and he's $40.
I would be all over that $50 for Jillian Anderson. That's
that's
awesome.
That's crazy for the Anthony Michael Hall. Cause I think like it. Jeremy and Spawn both got him at his conventions. It was only like $25-$30. That's just crazy. That's much more.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hoping. But he was pretty expensive. Was able to meet the Guild, Stacy, a group that you wanted me to swing by there. They were all super nice and signed several things for you.
Sweet.
Dean Kane, a super nice guy. He actually did a drop for Autograph Weekly. Superman saying, you're listening to Autograph Weekly. I'll hopefully get on one of the next upcoming episodes. And I also have his contact information for his agents because he's a big supporter of TTM and actually used to be a TTMer himself. So,
really? Wow, that's impressive.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you very much for doing that. We really appreciate it. Overall, how's your experience been at Dragon Con? Has it been pretty positive? Have you run into some hassles?
Yeah, it's you've got three different hotels you're trying to go to, and things will change kind of, at the last minute. If you have the app that you're working off of, it makes it a little bit easier. But so far, I've gone to a couple of things and it's been changed, or the time's been changed. But other than that, it's not too bad. It was, not as bad as what I've heard it was yesterday. Well, pretty crazy yesterday, but lines, aren't too bad. Most of the people are super nice. All the hotels are very accommodating, and some crazy people walking around in costumes, like the guy in front of me right now in his pajamas. But,
so that's Dragon Con from Atlanta, Georgia. Brian, thank you so much for bringing that to us live.
Have a great show, guys, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Brian. All right, it's time for the voicemail box where you guys called in, left us voicemail, and we're going to answer it. Here's the first question.
Hey, guys. Curtis Ellison here from the Canadian Sports Autographs blog. I just had a quick question here for you guys. I was wondering if anybody had any successes when sending to prisoners incarcerated in any federal penitentiaries. I recently had an RTS from Leonard Peltier that I'd sent to, and they wouldn't forward the self-addressed stamped envelope, but said they would forward the letter. I just wonder if anybody had any successes. Like, I noticed there was a few guys that sent to Floyd Mayweather, and Lil Wayne was one of the ones that I thought of. But, yeah, if anybody had any successes, just wonder if you could share them with me. Thanks. Bye.
First off, you need to distinguish what kind of prison you're writing to. There are maximum security prisons, and that does make a big difference. If you're sending to the maximum security, if you can get anything through, it's just going to be a letter. When I wrote to actually the governor of Illinois, which is currently in prison, George Ryan, we've actually had three governors go to prison. Proud of that. George Ryan, they sent back all my stuff like they just did to you, and sent the letter on to him because they have to charge for that stuff for the prisoner to actually use it. They charge for stamps, they charge for envelopes, and they can't just give those to the prisoner without charging for them. So that's just the way the prison system works. And if you want to get an autograph from somebody in that situation, I say the best thing to do is just send them a letter, and that's it. And write them a good letter and say, if there's any way you can get back to me with an autograph, that'd be greatly appreciated. Now, you got to be careful if you're writing to murderers. You can't say I'm a big fan of your work. So, you got to kind of step around it a little bit. Charles Manson signs through the mail every once in a while if you write him a good letter. But, again, don't say I'm a big fan of your work. Say, like, I really like your music. I checked out your music. You're pretty good. So I was wondering if you could send me an autograph or something like that. Obviously more in depth, but you got to be careful in those prison letters.
I hope you get out of prison sometime soon.
Yeah, if you do, come visit me. But it's a fine line you gotta walk. But on materials, like I said, just send a letter and request an autograph. I know Lil Wayne actually signed 8x10s and stuff through the mail. He was not in a maximum security prison, so rules were different. So you have to see where the person is before you write to them, kind of decide what you want to send. Also look on Star Tiger and other address websites to see if other people got returns and what they got away with sending. That would be also a smart move. Anybody got anything else to really add?
No, I like you said, I think sending to people, and I mean, like, OJ's another one. Just, you won't get anything back.
Right.
I just don't even know if they forward the letters to them or not, but it's a shot in the dark.
So. Yeah, it's risky. It's kind of like a via venue, except you know they're going to be there. but to get the stuff through to actually go to the prisoner is pretty tough. But like I said, if it's Max Muscardi, write a letter. If it's not, see what other people have done.
And as always, do your research.
And do your research. All right, next question.
I was just wondering why Zane is such a douche.
I know this was meant as like a trolling thing or calling. I'm just going to call Zane a douche on the voicemail. You know what? I'm going to answer your question.
So do we all get to answer this?
No, I get to answer it. It's about me because I'm the douche. A lot of people think I'm a douchebag, especially because of my videos. I kind of come off that way. And the reason that is, it's a character, people. I've been on YouTube for 5 years, 4 or 5 years, and I started doing tech reviews, and I had to have my little unique thing. So I was kind of a douchebag tech reviewer. Well, that didn't work out because there's like a million tech reviewers out there. And I kind of brought that character to my YouTube videos on autographs. So if I come off like a, yeah, my shit don't stink kind of guy, that's why. It's more of a character thing than the way I actually am. Hopefully, oops, sorry, hit the mic. Hopefully on these podcasts, you can tell that I'm a little more laid back and I'm not as douchey, if you will. And anybody that's talked to me, you know, on Skype or through Google Hangouts, hopefully you can tell the difference between the way I actually am and the way I do YouTube videos. I just basically want to make YouTube videos as entertaining as possible. And if that involves putting a little douche in the YouTube videos, so be it. So I had to answer that question. That was a fun one. And hopefully nobody has anything else to add.
So for the fourth of podcast, you get that fresh feeling then?
Yeah. Yeah. Next question.
Summer's Eve.
Next question.
Hey, guys. It's Alex, a.k.a. Dudeman. And here's my question for this week's show. Now, if you were to meet a person in the My America book, would you have them sign, like, the book itself or a book plate for you to stick into the book? All
right,
thanks, guys. Bye.
Part of me wants to say this is an obvious answer, but then the other, like, really obsessive-compulsive part says, I want everything to be the same. The obvious answer would be, yeah, of course, have them sign the book where their article is. But then, like I said, the obsessive-compulsive part's like, no, all of them are book plates except for that one. That would drive me crazy, and I'd want to put a book plate in there. So I'm interested to see what you guys' opinion on.
I think I would have him sign the book, just because, you know, they actually held the book, signed it, signed that part of their paragraph, whatever, page or two. I just think it puts a little bit more authenticity into it. And, you know, Maya Angelou, I would love her to sign the book.
Yeah.
So, because she doesn't sign a book plate, so.
Well, what I did with her was I actually had her sign a book, one of her own books, and I cut the signature out and used it as a book plate, so there's a little tip for you. Yeah, I guess, I don't know, I would probably still go with the book plate just because it would drive me crazy to have one signature in the book that wasn't the author. I mean, the book is hand-signed by Hugh Downs, who put the book together. My copy is, but that's the only person, and that makes sense for that to be the only person, and it would drive me crazy to have that one person who contributed to the book not on a book plate.
My Hugh Downs is on a book plate, but
Well, you're not as special as I am.
I do have his personal email address, and I did talk to him. So.
Wow, congratulations! That's pretty freaking awesome.
Thank you.
Name dropping.
All right, next question.
Hey guys, Grant here, aka STL Autographs on YouTube, and my question is, how do you send to a college athlete while they are in college? Thank you. Love the show. Keep it up.
We've kind of covered this before. I'm not big into sending to people in college, so I'm going to let Stacy and whoever else wants to talk about this take over.
All right, I'll start with this. And as we always say, the main thing here, once again, is do your research. Do your research.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think we should rename the podcast Do Your Research Cast. I think that would fit us well. Go ahead, Stacy.
But some schools are decent about getting mail to the student athletes. Some schools will just absolutely refuse doing it. A lot of SEC schools are that way. I mean, Florida, if you write to Florida, nothing's going to get to anybody there.
Some of the schools have different rules and regulations that they say, no, you cannot sign autographs TTM, or some say even in person.
Technically by rules, that's the way it's supposed to be for every school.
Right.
But you can get, I mean, I'll write every year. I live in Iowa, so I'll write stuff to the Iowa basketball and football players. And the basketball players, I mean, I get 80 to 85% of those back all the time. Football is a little more tricky. Some years I can get, I mean, I've had years I've gotten every single thing back. I've had years where I haven't got a single response. Last year, I think, was maybe 50% of the stuff I sent got back. It's just, like I said, it's you got to kind of look around the internet. You got to find out what schools are good at this. I mean, you can use StarTagger. I'm sure there's some stuff on there about this. SCN, which is another Sports Collectors Net, which is another website that's mostly deals with sports-related stuff. There's forums and stuff in there. There's some really good forums on there. There's some people that this is all they do is send to college people and high school kids, and there's good forums in there to follow. But it's just like I said, it's tough. It's getting tougher and tougher every year. It's just kind of, I mean, some people also with this will, I mean, they'll go crazy with their searching and stuff. I mean, they'll find dorm addresses. I mean, if you can find that stuff, a lot of times it's gonna get to the athlete. But most of the time, in my case, I'm just sending in care of the athletic program or sending in care of the football program or basketball program, whatever I'm sending to. So,
yeah, somebody just brought up coaches in the section below. I find coaches are sometimes harder to get than players. Emails obviously work for a lot of coaches, but there are some coaches that absolutely cannot sign due to policies put in play by the university. I'm assuming those same policies apply to the players at that same university. So, do your research, like Stacy said, and get on StarTigers, see if the person signs at that address. If it's untested, go ahead and test it out. I mean, what's it cost to test an address out? A dollar? Less than a dollar? So, you never know. I think Stacy pretty much covered everything you need to know about that. So
So the only other thing I'll add is sometimes the other trick that I've seen people do this is they'll find the athlete's parents' address sometimes, and the parents once in a while will get the stuff forwarded to the student athlete, but I mean that's not a guarantee either.
Right. That's a kind of a long shot, but actually, if you're going to do that, probably try to do it during holidays. Or around holidays, you're more likely to get a signature. Kind of a douchebag move. Well, I am the douchebag, right? Kind of a douchebag move, but it is a way to kind of, if you can't get somebody's signature in any other way, you can try that. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the last question.
Yes, my name is John from Los Angeles, and I had a question for Zane. I'm a frequent watcher of your videos, and you're always talking about these amazing book deals that you find online. Can you shed some light on what to look for, where you go to look for them? Just kind of the process that you go through in kind of uncovering these great book finds. Thank you so much.
No, I cannot. All right, let's move it on. I will shed a little bit of light, and I've always been tight-lipped about this because, you know, I've spent a lot of time working on different, I guess, tricks to find these signed books, and found different websites that work great. I've always kept them close to me because if word gets out on how to do it or the certain tricks that I found myself, then they're going to get taken up and the tricks are going to be worthless. With that being said, I can still give some tips, guys. A lot of people don't know this. On eBay, there's a way to actually subtract a word from the search. So, a lot of people just put signed in eBay, search title and description. With that, you're going to get a lot of Goodwill books that are not signed, because in Goodwill auctions, they actually put signed colon false. So what I do is I go into search and I put signed and look in books, but I put negative or minus false. And what that does is it takes out all the searches, all the results with the word false in them, which actually I put, sorry, I should rephrase that, signed false, That way, if anything else is false, it won't take it out. But if you put negative signed false, then it'll take all the signed false auctions out, all the Goodwill signed false auctions out, and leave the signed true auctions in. So that way, you can find the signed books without all the clutter of all the Goodwill auctions, which there's thousands of. So that's a little trick I use on eBay. There are a couple sites that I use that I'm not ready to give out yet because I'm still mining them. And I know that's selfish, but I feel like I may be a douchebag. Now that I'm talking and I'm listening to myself, I may be a douchebag on this subject. Searching for keywords such as inscribed instead of signed. Some people don't put signed when something's signed on an auction. So if you search on eBay or other book sites with inscribed, sometimes you can find items that wouldn't pop up under signed, and those items usually are pretty cheap because they've been sitting there forever, and they just keep on slashing the price until it sells. And nobody finds it because they're not looking for inscribed. They're looking for signed. So those are a couple big tips that I use that hopefully will help you out. Again, that's not my entire secret thing that I use, but I can't give all that away. I don't want to ruin the entire signed book market overnight.
Or you can just be Zane's kryptonite, which is Jeremy Daniels, and figures out it's all Zane's secrets anyway.
No, yeah, and here's the thing. The stuff that I do is not cryptic. It's pretty simple stuff that a lot of people just don't think about. So if you just sit down and think about it for a little bit, you can probably come up with the exact same stuff that I do, because that's exactly what happened with Jeremy Daniels, who's on the podcast here. When I started getting all these signed books in, he started getting into it, and I was like, well, dude, I can't tell you all my secrets. I will tell you this and this. So he took that this and this, and he worked basically forwards into what I was doing, and pretty much figured out every little secret that I was using. So it's not an impossible equation. It takes a lot of time. It does take a lot of time to look for books. Don't be like, well, I have 5 minutes, I guess I'll look for signed books. That's not going to happen. I designate like 2 or 3 hours whenever I'm looking for signed books. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I'm willing to give up, and hopefully that answered your question to a certain
extent. Can I say something, Zane?
Yeah, go ahead.
And at times when you're on eBay, a lot of times if you want to, it doesn't hurt to try it. You can always email the seller about a book that you like and ask him if he can mark it down for you. I've actually been successful with that with the Eric Sloan signed book. The guy wanted $30 for it plus shipping, and I ended up getting it for $25 shipped. So, I mean, it doesn't work all the time. Most of the time you'll get a lot of people to say, no, I'm not going to mark it down. But it does work, so it's something that you can try.
And it's for those people that don't have the best offer option, because that's basically what the best offer is.
Right.
But you see a lot of books that don't have that, so that is an option. Go ahead and email the person and say, hey, can I get it for this price? And I've also, another book tip, this is the last one. If you see something, a signed book, and it's from a bookseller that has a pretty high feedback, go into that seller's, what that seller's selling. I think it says other items for sale by seller or something like that. Click that and see if they have any more signed books, because you can save on shipping. They'll combine shipping, and maybe, you know, that $6 book that you bought with $4 shipping turns into another $2 book that's signed, a $3 book that's signed, and you only pay like 50 cents or a dollar extra on shipping for those. So you can really get a good deal by bundling, I've found. So hopefully, like I said, that answers your question with enough answers that you're not going to hate me for not telling every single thing that I know. Anything else to add? Jeremy, you did this for a while.
I think you nailed it on the head there. You just got to use common sense and just go above and beyond when you're searching for stuff. That's the only thing I can really say, is to expand your searches.
Jeremy's walking on potato chips right now because he's like, I don't want to say anything to make Zane mad.
I know, I'm trying not
I don't want to reveal any secrets. Because like I said, he figured out everything pretty much that I do. So it's not, it's common
sense.
Time,
though. It did take time to, find those, what you were doing. But I think I was doing it all along anyway, so I think we're related somehow.
We got some kind of weird wavelength working. But that is it for the voicemail feedback. Let's go ahead and move on to the Facebook feedback. And all of these are actually for Sid, because these are left over from a couple shows ago. Andrew Dees asks, In your opinion, what is the greatest auto you've ever picked? Which I think you've already answered. So just go ahead and tell us again, I guess, just real quick.
Just the finding the Franklin Mint signed leather-bound editions in the garbage. I mean, you can't – there's nothing that ever tops that.
We actually have a viewer of the show that found a Mantle at a Goodwill signed for, I think, $2. So, but I think yours actually is better than that because I know they weren't in very good condition, were they?
No, some of them had the obligatory rat damage.
Right.
But the signatures were not affected in any way. I think the Truman Capote was like that, but like I said, the signature was not affected. And I mean, even a cut signature, I think, goes for around $100 for him.
Right, right.
So.
All right, next question is from Marvin Ford. Can you tell us some of your secrets of picking? What's up with you people and our secrets? Can you tell us some of your secrets of picking? Like, where is the best place to pick?
Obviously, the thrift stores, that's where you're going to get the stuff the cheapest. But don't discount bookstores. And I forgot to mention with this JCPenney book earlier, I think I ended up paying like $5 for it. As far as my trade value for the work I was doing. But that's because the owner didn't actually open the book and look to see if it was autographed.
Right.
If he had seen it was autographed, he probably would have wanted a whole lot more money. So a lot of used bookstores, they don't have the time or they just don't care enough to look in the book to see if it's signed. There was a bookstore in Kansas where I went in there one day and found a bunch of signed books. One of them was signed by Bob Hope. And it wasn't signed on the title page. It was signed on the dedication page. Now, the bookstore had put $8 in pencil on the title page, and they had even marked it down to $4. So I paid $4 for a signed Bob Hope book. All I had to do was turn one more page, and they would have seen his signature. So don't ever discount a used bookstore. If you have one in your area, go to it. If you have time, go through their books.
And again, one of the keys to doing that, picking at a bookstore, is time. I know you've talked about how you just get a big old pile of books, sit down, and start flipping. You don't care what people think around you. You just do it.
Exactly.
So, but you got to have time for that. It's not something you can do in 15 minutes. So
right.
With both of these scenarios, you need time, which a lot of us don't have in the world today. It seems like we all have a million things to do. But if this is your hobby, you need to designate some time to search for that stuff. Because you can come up with some great stuff, like Truman Capote signed books and Norman Rockwell signed books, like I get. I mean, that stuff is crazy awesome. So it's definitely worth the time. You just got to put it in there.
Yep.
That's what she said. All right, next question is coming from AJ Kaiser. He says, are you a fan of the show American Pickers, and do they inspire you to keep on picking?
Oh, absolutely. I love the show, and they definitely inspire me to keep going. So it's a great show. Never miss an episode, so definitely.
And, you know, that stuff is pretty scripted on there. They actually have people go scout out the houses that work for the show before they go in and stuff. But it does show... it brings picking to the forefront, which is a good thing and a bad thing, because
exactly.
Then you got amateurs out there picking that don't really know what they're doing, and you got a bigger field to compete with. So
right, and it's getting harder and harder to find a good deal because everybody thinks they have something worth something.
Right. Well, it's probably good for the sellers, though. You're probably selling a lot of crap. Because, you know, right. A lot of the stuff that you, like anybody that's picking, a lot of the stuff that you find, you may think it's, you know, solid gold. You get it home, it's like, oh, great. Okay, this ain't worth crap. Well, I guess I'll try to sell it anyway. Like, I've run into that a lot with stuff that I've found. You just got to have an eye for it. I found Sid has a really great eye for stuff because a lot of the stuff you show in your videos, you end up selling. And we're talking out of autographs here, other stuff other than autographs. You end up selling for a lot more than you bought it for. So you've obviously got a good eye. But I think my point is not everybody has a good eye.
Right.
So, all right. Last question for Sid. It's coming from Taylor Besky. He asks, how close are you... how close are the pickin' shows on TV to real life?
I guess it's kind of like real life, but as you said, a lot of the shows are scripted, and you know, they're cut and edited, and to make it look good. But I mean, the deals that they find, I think, are legit. I don't know. It's kind of a hard question to answer. The show Barter Kings, I know that is not technically what we're talking about here, but I know that show is just definitely totally scripted.
Right.
You know, you don't – half of the deals that they do on there, it's just you can't believe it. It's not true.
Yeah, you'd have to be an idiot to do a deal with them, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, you could easily get a lot more money for whatever you're getting. So, on American Pickers, I think the success rate's the biggest thing that does not translate into actual real picking. You're not going to come across something awesome every time you pick. I think they find something awesome about 80% of the time that they go pick somewhere. Like I said, it's because they have people go scout the places out. But when you're actually picking, you're going to hit a lot of places where you don't find jack crap. So I think that's probably the biggest difference between those two. Alright, and that is it for the Feedback Forum. This episode of Autograph Weekly is brought to you by Star Tiger. When it comes to collecting autographs, Star Tiger is the number one tool you need in your belt. With almost 400,000 addresses and hundreds of daily updates, Star Tiger is easily the best address source available. But it provides much more, including real-time return stats, over 400,000 autograph scans, and a great community to help you along the way. Plans start at $5 a month to $35 a year. If you sign up today, use the link startiger.autographweekly.com. That's startiger.autographweekly.com to help out the show. That's startiger.autographweekly.com. Now we have time for the Kane Chronicles. Michael Kane, who's on the show, is obviously an expert IPer. He's been doing it for years. And the Kane Chronicles gives him an opportunity to tell a story from his IP travels. Take it away, Mike.
All right. Well, this week it's going to definitely be a story. I did the TPC Boston, which is a professional golf tournament. I know what people are thinking. Golf's boring. They don't like to watch it. But, you know, over the past, ever since Tiger Woods kind of came on the scene, golfers are major celebrities. So that being said, Tiger Woods is there, Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy, all the big names. So Tiger Woods is who I really, really wanted. And I did my research, and I noticed even on eBay, I was seeing a lot of single signature Tiger Woods photos, and he's really gotten away from that. He'll sign multi-signed items like flags or programs, but has really been getting away from just being the only signature on a photo. But I was seeing a lot up there signed in 2012. So me thinking, I'm going to get this, I print out my Tiger Woods photos. And so Tiger Woods gets off the 18th. He comes over. There's about 100 people there. I'm right in front. He walks right up to me. And what happens? Anybody?
He says eBay.
He doesn't say eBay.
Dang.
I don't sign photos.
He takes my photo, turns it around, looks at it, and what does he do? He hands it back to me.
What?
That's it. Yep. And then he just moves right down the line and signs about 20 autographs and goes into the clubhouse.
Oh, wow. It's a heartbreaker.
He had it in his hands and handed it back, and then went down and didn't sign any, Tiger Woods-related stuff. He just signed flags and programs, anything multi-signed. I could have taken off my hat and handed it to him. He would have signed it. So.
Jeez. You should have just dusted that thing off as a print and then framed the little fingerprint. It's a Tiger Woods fingerprint.
His DNA.
DNA. Huh? I may be getting a little creepy. Oh, they do have cards for that. Anyways, go ahead.
So I guess the moral of the story is, I just saw a couple online thinking like, oh, maybe he's doing it now. I should have just done with the safe bet. I should have bought a flag, had some other golfer sign it. I should have had him sign my program that I also had on me, and I probably would have a Tiger Woods autograph. I was the first person he got to. He walked right up to me.
Dang,
and that
man.
Was it. So, that's but sad. Other than that, the tournament was great. I got everybody else, but
right.
It's still haunting me. So next year, TPC, next year.
If you guys want to see what Michael got, we do have that in AW Extra. We do our Mojo mailbox over there now. So just go to youtube.com/autographweekly to watch that. It's September 2nd, 2012 would be the episode. All right, let's move on to Just the Tip, where Jeremy has some tips for photos.
Yes, I do. If you're trying to get away from ordering photos through Winkflash, ArtsCow, there's a whole bunch of digital printing services out there, and you want to start printing your own
photos, 4x6 photos, that is. The best bet is to buy a 4x6 printer. These are pretty reasonable in price. They're not too expensive. I bought one. It's Canon. It's called Canon Selfie. Yeah, I got it for $99 at Best Buy. You might be able to find it cheaper online if you look. I wanted something right away, so that's why I went to Best Buy. But it's awesome. It's your upfront cost is going to be a little bit more, but it's going to save you time, and time to me is money. And this, if you want to write to someone right away that you know is signing right now that you don't know if they're going to sign in a week from now, it's awesome just to get these photos printed up, print them out, and send them off. So there's a couple things you're going to need when you do buy one of these little printers. You're going to need extra ink and extra photos. They usually do have a package deal where, like mine, it's like a Canon. You get 3 ink cartridges and 108 photos. I bought this at Best Buy also. It was $36, but I found another place online called Yo-Yo Ink. It's yoyoink.com. That is a funny name. I got it for $26 shipped, so I saved $10. So that was a cameo. Whose dog was that? But anyways, it saves the hassle of putting a big order in. You know, if you want to write to, I don't know, 50 people, you're going to print out at least 100 or 200 photos. It's going to save you time. You can do it individually, and it saves the time from uploading and cropping all the stuff and waiting a week and a half, depending where you order from to get the photos in. Right. And it's all about now.
Right.
Go on Google, get a photo, print it out, send it off in the same day. And I think to me that's the way I'm going. And I think I talked to a couple people. They said they're looking at doing this, and I think a lot more people should jump on this since a lot of companies are rejecting orders for copyright.
You know, like you said, it is more expensive, and I could see myself maybe looking at this alternative as maybe having it used moderately, since ink is very expensive. In those cases, just like you said, where, like Stephen King, you know, somebody got him back, the rush was on, and if you waited a week to get your photos from ArtsCal, you probably weren't going to get them. But if you were able to print those photos off right then you probably got it. So, that could be a big difference whenever somebody's hot to get them back. So I think that is a really cool little tip for the week. And if you guys do have the money to spend and you're wanting to kind of upgrade your setup for TTMs, that would be a very good investment. And with the Just the Tip segments, we're going to try to start doing videos, guys. And Jeremy actually has a how-to video up on our Autograph Weekly channel. Again, that's youtube.com/autographweekly. So if you want to see more about this, just go watch that video. We posted it for you guys, just in case you wanted to go a little more in-depth with it. All right, it's time for the weekly giveaway. Last show, we gave away an Adrian Gonzalez signed card, and the winner is pretty funny. I need a drum roll, I guess. The winner is Pete Terrell, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe his wife actually won last week. Total coincidence, but congratulations, Pete. Send us your information via Facebook or email, autographweekly@gmail.com, and we'll get that out to you ASAP. This week, we again have 2 packs of Rackers custom cards. Guys, if you're TTM collectors or IP collectors, these are perfect, okay? You're ready for anybody IP. If you don't have more than one item for somebody TTM, these are perfect TTM. So you get 2 packs of 25. That's 50 Rackers cards we're giving away this week. And all you have to do to win is go find the keyword in our show and post that keyword on Facebook, facebook.com/autographweekly, and you're automatically entered to win. Easy as that. Simple as pie. So again, just find the keyword, post it on Facebook. Now, this week in deaths, we actually had no big deaths, so that's a good thing. AutographWeekly.com, guys, go check it out. It has all the stuff combined into one glorious website. The polls, the news. Well, TTM Fantasy League is not there anymore. But we do have Geek a Week and several projects that we do over on AW Live. Again, that's AutographWeekly.com. We are creating a podcast network, guys. We're expanding out from autographs. So if you know of anybody or you yourself are really into a hobby that's not autograph collecting and you want to do your own show, you have about 10 hours a week to spare for, you know, producing and getting stuff ready for the show, send us an email if you're interested. You have to be 18 years or older to be a part of the interview process. But it's autographweekly@gmail.com. Shoot us an email if you're interested. Also, writeastar.com. That is my private address website. Got some great returns recently from there. Again, that's writeastar.com. Also, identify your autographs on Facebook. That's a Facebook page dedicated to identifying what autographs you guys have in your collections. Your unknowns. We'll try to figure them out over there. Identify your autographs. And
as always, check out Stacey Schaefer. .com. I post all my daily successes on there. Got other stuff on there. I got feeds to the podcast, interviews, and what's that on there. Also, I relaunched my fan page on Facebook. So if you guys want to get onto that, just do a Facebook search for That Autograph Dude, and that is up as well now.
And as always, check out theautographboss.com. I always post my daily successes up there. And with the Fantasy League over, that leaves a spot open, so I'm looking to add something new to my website. So if you guys could send me some suggestions, you can email me at theautographboss@yahoo.com. I did change my email address. It is theautographboss@yahoo.com right now. So just send me some suggestions and just check out my daily successes, theautographboss.com.
All right. I have a website, themikecane.com. Kane spelled with a K. I usually do blog posts maybe once or twice a week, depending on, you know, how often I'm going out. So I just did a big one on the golf tournament, photos of everything I got done, people signing habits. So check it out. If you have any questions, you can contact me through the site there, and that's about it.
I do have a website. It is Sid's autograph site. It's on free webs. So if you just type that into your Google search, that should come up, along with a lot of my videos. And also, I have some T-shirts, guys, called Pickin' Pays Off. If you go to eBay and type in Pickin' Pays Off with a dollar sign for the S and pays, you can get a shirt there. They're pretty cool. Small through extra large is $25 shipped, and 2X and 3X on up are $28 shipped. So pretty good deal there. Nice shirts. Check it out.
Also, guys, check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/autographweekly, and facebook.com/autographweekly. And for the love of God, go to iTunes, rate, comment. Helps us out a ton. We'd appreciate it. All right, guys, I'm Zane Savage.
And I'm Stacey Schaefer. Damn the man. Save the empire.
And you take care, all of you autograph addicts.
Thank you for listening to Autograph Weekly. Visit autographweekly.com for news, tips, and contact information.